Hello, everyone, and welcome to Root Tap Radio, the witch's podcast to all things flora, fauna, and spiritual. I'm your host, Bree, and every week we'll cover topics to help feed you in knowledge and in spirit. Merry meet, witches and friends. I hope that you all have been doing very well. And this week, I am so proud and excited to bring you an interview with Nicole from Farm Girl Magic. We talk about her new Oracle deck in this interview and a couple other things that she has on her Etsy shop, as well as what got Nicole started into creating the business Farm Girl Magic. So settle in, grab a drink, and let's talk Farm Girl Magic. All right, so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody and what your brand is.
Hi, my name is Nicole. I am a retired nurse who had my creativity suppressed for decades because there's no creativity in healthcare that results in big oopsies, and we don't like that.
Yeah.
but the daily muggle struggle was the norm until I decided to, come out of the broom closet. Mm. And I just said, this is me. This is who and what I am. This is my spiritual path. I've been following it since I was 15. And, that's that. I ultimately desire to live a simpler, slower life. And I was really enjoying the 2020 total shutdown.
Yeah.
When my now husband and I met and started dating. When we got married, I took a long look at what I enjoyed and the things that made me happy. I always joked my style was like kind of Victorian Gothic. And then now I find out that, there's cottagecore, naturecore, witchcore, and I'm like, holy crap, man, I didn't even know I was a thing. We live a very simple, rustic, cottagecore life here on the farm, and then my spirituality kind of veers off into more of the, witchy naturecore, and that's kind of how Farm Girl Magic started.
In Farm Girl Magic, your farm is called, what was it again?
The farm itself is Magic Acres.
Okay.
And that is our main thing, because the way that John and I met, it really should not have happened. Mm-hmm. The universe and probably our grandmothers in spirit were pulling some strings.
Yeah.
And we, always said, how could this possibly have happened? And he's like, fucking magic, man. it's really stuck, and that's why we called it Magic Acres. And, one day, I made an offhand comment, to somebody on Facebook that I was chatting with, and I was like, oh, yeah, big farm girl magic going on up in here. And it just stuck. People started saying it, and John looked at me when I started, painting, when I took this challenge that my friend was doing, and somebody else said, your painting should really be an oracle deck, and I'll be your first customer. She's in Australia, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, yeah, sure. But, and John's like, no, seriously, do it. And it just kind of happened, like fucking magic, like everything else. So it was an accidental business.
Oh, okay. So you didn't, set out to create that. It just kind of came to be.
Yeah. I did a 40 days of art challenge put on by my friend Michelle Pendergrass. And she did, watercolor and art, tutorials. And I just started playing around. I would do the daily prompt, but sometimes I would deviate if that's just where my mood took me. And Then I started looking at my photographs that I've taken around, you know, the farm and the area. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I could, let me try this, you know. And so I, my favorite picture that John took of me and my horse Midas, I actually sketched out and painted. And I'm like, I might be onto something here.
Did you have anything to add to, you know, I gave you the questions in advance. So did you have anything to add to what started Farm Girl Magic, or did we just kind of roll right over what you had?
We kind of did. Like I said, I was participating in that challenge and really liked it. It renewed, you know, my love of art that, you know, I had kind of forgotten about. And I learned some new things. And, you know, literally that's just how it happened. And, you know, leaving the big city and, you know, moving down here when, you know, I married the love of my life and, you know, I kind of immersed myself into rural life here on the farm. And, you know, it was just, this is how we live. And people seemed to want to know about it. And they liked the photographs and they liked the paintings that I was doing. And you said somebody made an offhand comment like, you know, hey, this should be an Oracle deck and I will be your first customer. And, you know, voila.
Yeah.
I researched it. It's really not that hard to do.
Yeah. So you said that your friend drove you to make an Oracle deck. And I can understand that, you know, there's probably quite a few people that think that they would want to turn their art into that. But was there something else that drove you to make an Oracle deck?
I have been interested in tarot. Oh my gosh, I bought my first deck late 90s. Didn't start getting really familiar with it. I mean, I would dabble off and on for several years, and about 6 or so years ago I started getting really serious about it. And from there, there's, I love the artwork, I love the meanings, I love the imagery. And so I work with both tarot and Oracle, sometimes together. I've used multiple decks in readings for a long time. And I liked that Oracle decks can be any theme, any number of cards. You know, it doesn't have to follow the very strict 78-card tarot protocol.
Right.
And I liked having to create something and then determine what it meant to me and how it would translate to other people, especially if you're tapping into your intuition. It was more of an exercise for me that other people said, you know what, I kind of like this. And I'm like, okay. It was, you know, my art therapy that seemed to resonate with other people that I knew. And and I'm like, wow, all right, well, you know, there's something going on in the collective, and this is probably why we're all, you know, meeting up with each other and making these connections and friendships, because, you know, I feel that there's more going on out there than just our day-to-day lives. And if 2020 showed us anything, it's there's definitely more to the daily grind. So
yeah, for sure. So I know that you have a ton of decks, and did I read correctly that you have about 100 decks?
Just under, yeah. It's like 82.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, my husband fuels my addiction, so I mean, it's well, not just me.
That's good, though. You know, some husbands are like, you know, trying to get you to stop your addiction, but it's nice that he's just fueling into it.
He always knows what to get me for Christmas and my birthday, so it's great. And it's easy on him.
Yeah, for sure. So besides your own, which is your favorite deck, and which is the one that gives you the most sass?
Hands down, my favorite is the Everyday Witch Tarot. I love it. I mean, it is freaking adorable. I got it back in, you know, 2017. And, you know, it's, when they came out with the companion oracle, I mean, it's just, oh, it's great. They go hand in hand together. I love working with the two of those. Let's see. I'm really drawn to anything that has fantastic artwork. Like today, I used the Rackham Tarot. He was an artist and illustrator, and very Victorian, very dainty, very flowy. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I think the sassiest deck, the one that gives me the most trouble, is the Lightseers. And people rave about that. And you would think with a deck called, you know, the Lightseers Tarot, but it's not. Man, that calls me out on my bullshit and gives me all the aspects of my shadow. I'm like, can I get one good card, please? Can you give me a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel? And they're like, yeah, it's a train. I'm like, okay, never mind.
That's good for shadow work, though. You know, sometimes you need that cut through the bullshit, but, you know, it would be nice to have at least one read that's nice, not just mean every time.
No, that's the deck that gets me, you know. Lightseers, it's going to be a nice, light and fluffy deck. No, it's not. No. But there's times when I need it. There's times when I need it, and the cards don't lie. The pictures don't. I mean, they're pieces of paper with pretty pictures on them that are laminated. But when I look at it and I see the story that it's telling me, it's like, oh, yeah, I did that, all right. Or, yeah, I need to do that. Okay. So, yeah, that one gives me fits constantly.
So it's clear that the imagery was inspired from your farm, like you had said. But what inspired you with their meanings? Like, did the imagery come first for most of them? Did the meaning come first? Tell us a little bit about that process.
You know, it depends on the cards. Some cards started with the image. Mm-hmm. Others started with the meaning. You know, like, as, you know, John and I were sitting around talking, and it was like, oh, yeah. What would describe this, or, you know, what would go with that? And most of the things, though, came to me as
the mom cat and her baby are fussing at each other. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, as I was, you know, going along, you know, with my daily activities and, you know, cleaning out the stalls, mm-hmm. it's not intellectually, you know, stimulating. It's not even that physically taxing. It's very repetitive. So, you know, you get like, you know, stall thoughts, like shower thoughts. But, you know, I'm like, well, I'm in the barn and, you know, well, here's the pitchfork and here's the wheelbarrow. And, you know, these are the things that I use every day.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm wearing my barn boots, you know, and I'm in. The day I went into TSC and got that pair of muck boots, I think was like the best day of my life. And that was actually one of the prettiest pictures to paint. And as I was thinking about it, I'm like, you know, I'm literally stepping in shit. But what am I going to do with this? I'm composting it. It's going to go onto our fields. And it's gonna, you know, make the stuff grow. And that kind of got me thinking, you know. And then I'm looking at different things, you know, or I'm looking at the things that I use every day, maybe with different eyes. And then I would come in and I'd sit down at my desk and, you know, I would just start sketching things out and then put it aside. Maybe, you know, put a layer of paint on something and then set it aside. And I would just go back and forth and I'd be working on like 2 to 4 at any given time, and they almost, I don't want to say, I mean, they didn't paint themselves, obviously I did, but they kind of grew at their own pace,
mm-hmm.
and things, you know, evolved. I would start out doing one thing, and it would turn into something else, but some things, you know, like the picture of Midas and I, that was a picture that John took of the two of us. We had just gotten home and he was at the fence, you know, waiting for me. And I jumped out of the truck and went over and he was giving me smooches. And John took the picture and I just loved it. And, you know, that's a girl and her horse. Yeah, that's a level of friendship. I mean, that's a BFF like no other.
Right.
And, you know, so that that one, you know, kind of took care of itself. And some of the others, as I was doing them, you know, I'd start sketching out one thing, but it would turn into, you know, a completely different scene. So I would just go with it.
My absolute favorite one is the doorknob and key. Like, I thought that was so cool that your grandma had a purple glass doorknob.
She did. She did. And when my mom was flipping through the cards, mm-hmm. when she got to that one, she stopped and she put her hand over her mouth and she's like, oh, and I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh my gosh. And the story behind that was at family gatherings, they would obviously put me to bed early. Mm. You know, I was the only grandchild for a while. I was the oldest. Mm. So the adults would put me to bed and then, you know, they'd continue on,
right.
you know, for whatever holiday or get together it was. And I would always sleep, you know, in grandma's bed. And that doorknob went out to her little balcony and they had lost the key a long time ago. So the wind would whistle through the keyhole.
Mm.
And of course, I'm like, what's that? What's that? And she came up and she's like, it's magic. And she was Irish, and she says, and the fairies will come through, they will sing to you. Well, I'm 3 years old, I'm going to believe anything that my grandmother says.
Right.
And that was the magic purple doorknob, you know, in the family until she passed away. So, yeah, I definitely had to put that in there as, you know, an honor to her.
That is such an amazing story. I love that so much. Were there any images or concepts that you wanted to integrate into the deck but didn't make it in?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I could have kept going forever. And John said, you know, just pick a number, the first number that pops into your head, and that's going to be your stopping point. And I just blurted out 44, and he's like, okay. But, no, there's so many things out here. I mean, you know, there's... Oh, all of the tractor implements, because, you know, they all do different things.
right.
You know, there's, I could do probably a deck just on, you know, what we've planted.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, or the bird, or the, you know, I mean, there's any number of things. I'd really, really have to think about it. But, yeah, there's a lot that I left out just because I could have gone forever.
Mm. Do you have any tips for those who are tarot readers, either like the Rider-Waite-Smith or the Thoth-based deck, that would help them transition into Oracle decks? Like, this is the first Oracle deck that I've ever had, and I have a Rider-Waite-Smith based, and I have a Thoth
really?
One. Yeah, I've never had an Oracle deck, and I don't know if there's any reading differences. I treated it the same. But yeah, do you have any tips for people who are just getting into Oracle decks?
I mean, I started because I would see stuff. I would take, you know, like a tarot challenge. And, you know, of course, you're looking at other people's decks like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was working in downtown Willoughby, there was a metaphysical shop there, the Enchanted Grove, and of course she had tarot and oracle decks. So, you know, you would peruse and see what called out to you.
Yeah.
If you're only a tarot reader, then you know that it's very structured. Mm. It's always 78 cards. There's always 22 major arcana. There's always 4 suits, 1 to 10, 4 courts. You know, the pictures can change, but it will always, always, always follow that format.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, though, is that when you go from, like, a Rider-Waite-Smith to, you know, the Green Witch or, you know, something like that, or the Enchanted Forest, then you have to draw a little bit more on what you're actually seeing in the cards, because it's like, well, wait, hold on, there's... You know, what's that thing in the corner? You know, what does that particular plant mean? What does that animal mean? A Rider-Waite-Smith and a Vampire's Tarot are going to be read totally differently, even though it's the same, let's say, Four of Cups.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to draw on your own intuition, given the situation or question or the person you're reading and the relation to the other cards and the spread and so on and so forth. So you're already right there tapping into that, and then to jump over to Oracle, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, my wheelbarrow means what it means to me, but it'll mean something totally different to somebody else. There's a book, and I cannot remember the lady that wrote it, but it's like 21 different ways to read a tarot card or something like that. And it's true. Every time you look at any given card, you're going to get a different meaning for it because, you know, where you're at, what's going on in your life. And so it really wasn't that hard because I was strictly a tarot reader. That was all I was going to do. I'm going to learn this, blah, blah, blah. I had all the books. And then I saw an Oracle deck and I was like, wow, that's really pretty. You know, and then I was hooked. So I like to use them together, but there's some mornings when, you know, I'm doing the scan, I keep everything in a chest, when I'm, you know, kind of running my hand over everything and, you know, doing the energy scan, I'll have an Oracle deck that'll, you know, be like, nope, it's going to be me today. And I'm like, okay.
On Oracle decks, does it usually have the kind of the write-up, like how a tarot deck has their book? Do Oracle decks usually have their write-up on the back of the card like yours?
Some do. I have seen some, and I wanted this to be deliberately simple, because
I appreciated that.
That's how we're living, and you know, it's when I thought about when I would ask my grandma a question. I mean, she was so busy that, you know, I would get, you know, just a quick little, almost like a little sound bite before that was even a buzzword. And then I was kind of left to mull it over. You know, we'd be in the kitchen, you know, working together or in the sewing room doing something. And, you know, I'd say, yeah, I'm struggling with this, that, and the other. And she'd like, you know, just give me a quick little snippet. And then as I was, you know, continuing on with, you know, whatever, washing dishes, baking the bread, whatever we were doing, she was like, you know, what do you think about that? And gave me the time to kind of chew it over in my mind. And then I would, you know, kind of talk my way through whatever the issue was. That's what I wanted to convey in this deck. It's, you can get things copyrighted. To publish a book, you need what's known as an ISBN number. They're kind of like donuts. The more you get, the cheaper they are. I have looked into that. That may come into play with another deck, but I didn't feel that like a big heavy booklet suited this particular style. That wasn't what I was trying to convey. But there may be, out of all of my decks, the one that John got me for my birthday last year, it's called the Wheel of Fortune Tarot. He got it off Etsy, and it looks like it was painted watercolors or acrylics or something. It's like you can see the brush strokes. It is gorgeous. Ooh. And he said, hands down, that was the most expensive deck he's purchased for me. And to this day, I don't know how much it was.
Yeah.
But that did not come with a book.
Oh.
So I have some that, you know, have my tarot apocalypse. That has a book that rivals War and Peace, practically.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, The Everyday Witch, that has a decent-sized book. Some have just little inserts, like the, the Rackham that I use today, that has, you know, just a little folded-up book. Yeah, I have a few that don't have any. I have some that, it was an e-book that I had to download, so you know I'm not going to use that.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like there are no rules anymore, which is actually really nice, because when I started, there was not a lot of information out there, and when you did find somebody, you know, things were still very much shrouded in secrecy back then, and it was hard to tell if they were, you know, just trying to pull the wool over your eyes with an overinflated sense of ego, or, you know, or if it was the real deal, but they just didn't have a lot of information themselves. So it's nice to see that there's a little more information, but there's also a little more give and take. And it's, you know, somebody can hand you a deck and say, here, what do you make of this? And they leave that with you. And that's a nice change.
Yeah, for sure. So what was the creation process like for you when you were creating this deck? So, like, taking it from the artistic concept to a physical deck.
When I was doing the sketches and then, you know, transferring it over to the watercolor paper, I actually had, like, cardstock that was already cut to, I want to say, a little bit bigger than like a 3x5 note card. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, just blank stuff that I had, you know, for probably some craft project with the kids for, you know, a while ago, or maybe when I was making them flashcards. And so I just started gluing, you know, glue sticking them onto there. And then they were just kind of mine. It just gave it a little bit, you know, more substance behind it so that they weren't curling up and flying all over the desk. Right. And as I was doing it the one day, you know, when my friend said, you know, oh my gosh, you know, some of these look like, you know, that would be a good Oracle deck and I'll buy it from you. And I'm like, what? Well, so then I sat there and I think I had about 20, 21 at the time. And I just started like shuffling them around, just playing with them. And one plopped out, you know, we love jumpers. And I just remember I looked at it and I was like, I'll be damned, that kind of fits like what's going on right now. And I'm like, you know, maybe there's something to this. So I started, you know, as I was adding to the pile, and then I tried out on somebody, like, hey, you know, shuffle these up and see what you think, you know, see if it resonates or and all that. And I kept getting feedback like, yeah, oh my gosh, it actually does. You know, my daughter who lives up in Mentor, you know, and she is anything but a farm girl. Mm-hmm. She was like, Mom, oh my gosh. And I'm like, nailed it. She's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, I guess there is something to this. And from there, we found a publishing company and looked into things. You know, we could put, you know, what we wanted on the front, what we wanted on the back, the backgrounds. I mean, it's actually a lot of layering. I was surprised. It, the computer aspect, the digital design was almost as intensive as, you know, actually painting it. And I found the painting to be a little bit more therapeutic for me. You know, the digital design was just like, oh my God. You know, I mean, a lot of times I pull John out and I'd be like, oh, can you just sit here and do this? Like, I just want to paint. And yeah. He's like, I'll design the box. And I'm like, thank you. And actually, he may have regretted that, because that every single thing had to be layered on top of everything else. You can't just, you think, oh, I'm just going to put a text box here. Oh, no, it wasn't like that at all. So I'm glad he did that for me. And, and then it's the weight, you know, like, are you actually doing this? You know, are you making it? Are you going to send it to me? And then the day that the box showed up and I was like, oh my God, they're here. So that was, it was actually kind of exciting, you know, once the momentum started.
Do you have any future decks in mind?
I think so. I think so. I was meditating today and received an image. My grandmother and my niece came through, and, you know, as I'm sitting there, you know, crying in my meditation, they gave me a message, and I didn't understand it at the time, but I've had, like, all day to think about it. I actually got on the treadmill before this and just kind of walked, you know, for an hour just to try, you know, like a walking meditation, and some things started to make sense in that message. I'm still mulling it over in my mind, but I can see a direction that it may go in, so I will be exploring that, and then I still have all of my original notes from when I started this, you know, all the cards that didn't make the cut, you know, when I stopped at the 44, that I might go back and revisit and, you know, see if there's a Farm Girl Magic 2, but I don't like that name. I'd have to come up with something else.
Right. Okay, so not only do you have this deck, but you also have an Etsy shop and the store on your website. And as I saw for right now, you have how many candles?
Just the four.
Four. And then the goat's milk lotion.
Yes, yes, because that's, it's got a little bit of the mica in it and it shimmers. And I was like, No, we like things that sparkle.
Everybody likes things that sparkle.
Well, especially when it's on your hands, you know, and it's like if you're directing power and your hand is sparkling, you know, it kind of helps you get in the mindset, you know, because a lot of this stuff, especially as a mom, you know, I mean, even though my kids are, you know, I'm not actively parenting, but I'm doing it from like 90 minutes away, and that's actually a little more stressful than when they're in and out of the house.
Right.
And then I also have, you know, my daily things here. I, you know, manage my husband's business. You know, we do the farm together, and it's, you know, sometimes you just, if when you're doing magic, you need the sparkle on the back of your hand to help you direct that power because you only got about 30 seconds to do what you need to do.
Right. Good reminder of who you are and what you can do.
Right. But I love the candles as an Aries. I mean, that fire is my element. Mm-hmm. But it works for everybody, you know, especially if you need to do something quick. I mean, it's wind and fire are the quickest energies out there. But I have yet to harness the wind, so I had to go with what I can do.
I completely agree with you. I am a air sign sun, so wind is definitely something that I'm into, but I love candle magic for how quick it is. I love to use birthday candles for like every spell because I don't have time to sit there and wait for this thing to burn down. I just don't have the time.
I agree. When I have to do stuff, you know, super fast, but when I was looking at these, especially the name, the watercolors was the one that obviously came first because it was inspired by the deck and, you know, just my painting in general. I wanted it to be, you know, I went from a very small space up in, you know, Mentor to a larger open floor plan, you know, log home. Mm-hmm. And as my needs changed, I still have all the little tiny candles, but you know, especially in the winter time, I can light something because I'm just going to be running outside to the barn, doing what I need to do and then coming back in. I'm not spending, you know, my days out and about like normal. So during the winter, having a large candle for a larger space that I can keep an eye on while I'm doing something else. That worked with my lifestyle. And it kind of, you know, took off as, you know, like my mom or, you know, a friend would come over and they're like, what is that? And I was like, here, you know, take one, try it, see what you like. And then they're like, listen, I don't know what the heck you did to this candle, but I need more. And I'm like, really? Okay.
So what kind of candles are they? They look pretty sizable.
They're soy, three wicks, because you want, you know, fast melt, but a nice wax pull and a good throw. I mean, you know, we definitely light candles because we want the ambiance of the flame.
Right.
And again, it works for mid to large size rooms, which that's now my reality. And I made sure that they are lead free cotton wicks, because, you know, the former nurse in me.
Right.
and deliberately plain so that they could be used in any decor, white, because it's a substitute for any color. Mm-hmm. And I really, because, you know, it was more as we were coming out of winter and going into spring, and I wanted to lighten things up a little bit. So it's a lot of the fruits, the florals, the citrus. But then again, you know, because I have that part of me, and it might be my Scorpio rising that gets a little dark and twisty. So we're going to have some vanilla here, some musk there, some sandalwood, just to give it kind of that earthy, witchy vibe to it. So, I mean, I don't know. I like them, but that's just me. But they are 14.5 ounces. So, yeah, it's a substantial candle. If you want to use it for spell work, that's great. If you, you know, just like candles, that works too.
All right. So what scents do you currently have? And I have to know, what is Vamber?
Okay, right now I have the watercolors. It's kind of like the paintings on the cards, you know? So it's heavy on the floral, with a little bit of sweet fruit, you know, and it's, but there's also a little bit of sandalwood and musk in there. That's my personal favorite. I am totally biased. I admit that freely. Spellbound is, you know, more still the citrus, and the fruits, and, you know, with just a little floral, you know, just some floral notes, but the exotic musk, you know, because we got to, you know, you're just like, oh, that's so nice. I'm like, oh, there it is, you know. And then Stardust, I love. Stardust is a little more bold with the florals, but it has, you know, like musky wood tones and the warm amber, because Vamber is a combination of vanilla and amber. It's a scent that I started wearing. I mean, I started blending that, again, probably late 90s. I've been on my path, like I said, since about 15, but I think, like, late 90s is when I really started coming, like, out cautiously. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I was starting to, like, step out of the closet. I didn't fully emerge until, you know, the past few years.
Yeah.
But Vamber has always, always, always been my scent, and it's one of two scents that my kids know, because that's all I ever wore. And when I did this candle, and I didn't even say anything, I just, you know, she just saw that it was in a black glass, and I just handed it to her, and I said, here, close your eyes and smell this. And she did, and her eyes flew open, and she's like, oh my God, Mom, that's you. And I'm like, did we nail it? And she's like, you did. And I turned it around, and I showed her the label, and she's like, oh my God, you drew that. And she goes, look at you. She says, oh my God, that's you and your braids and your barn boots and your witch hat. And it's like, yeah. She couldn't believe it. She's like, oh my God, that is amazing. Like, thank you.
That
was just my signature scent that I have been wearing forever, that I just like. That's, you know, and I'm like, nope, it's my money, it's my company, I'm making the candle, I'm doing what I want.
That, yes, absolutely. Will you be having more scents or more sizes in the future?
I definitely want to explore more scents. It's very cyclical, you know, and especially farming now, I'm more in tune with the seasons than I ever have been, because, you know, now a good portion of our livelihood depends on it.
Right.
And, but because all of this is based off of our lives, you know, there might be like a cozy cabin, you know, scent. There's definitely going to be the florals. We're kind of known for the things that we do with the flowers. So lavender, lilac, rose, peony, because that's what we have.
Right.
We have some, we actually have quite a few evergreens. So there might be, you know, something piney. But yeah, I'm definite, and I might have something that's a little more manly. You know, not as sweet as we're going, like, into the darker portion of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's strictly for men, but, you know, boys like candles, too. But right. Sometimes we, you know, if you're doing shadow work, you know, you don't want something that smells, you know, like a pretty little flower.
Yeah.
So I would be, as we're going into, yeah, the darker part of the year, I would be playing around more with those scents.
Yeah, like...
But if I could get them in other sizes, that would... yeah, that would be great. But I just really like those lids on those containers.
I mean, that makes sense, especially with, you know, the scents that you've got in there. If you're going to put that much time and effort into it, you want it to be big and bold.
Yeah, I did. And it's they burn really nice. I mean, they really, really do. I mean, sometimes you want something quick and easy, but then again, that's what, you know, I use birthday candles. I use votives. I use tea lights. So you can, the thing that I like to do with the bigger candles is that I'll just put my energy and my intention into it. And then every time it's lit, you know, because it's storing it. It's like I've basically created like a little battery that I can turn on and off every time I light it and then snuff it out. So it's, if I need kind of like, yeah, like those 7-day candles, great concept, but you know, I gotta leave the house on occasion. I'm not gonna let it go for 7 days.
Right.
But you know, the intention would be with this is that, you know, it's there, it's already stored. If I put the intention and the energy into the candle, then it's going to travel with it if I ship it out to somebody. Mm. And then, so if they light it and they have to snuff it out, that's okay. It's still sitting in there. Mm. The next time you light it, you can release that as well. So it's has yet to be proven, but that was definitely my thought process. And, you know, again, I'm really super biased because they're mine and I know what I'm doing and I'm not leaving anymore to go into an office. You know, the last time I saw the inside of a hospital was March 12th of 2020.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it's like, I'm walking around here. If I go outside and I come back in, I can leave it lit. So, but I will definitely see if I can get containers that are, you know, the appropriate size, but also the appropriate cost.
Mm. So what's next for Farm Girl Magic? Do you have any plans on the horizon?
So I've been kind of nipping at the Hubster's heels a little bit. In fact, he's out in his workshop now. There's more metal things that I want him to do. You know, he did the pentacle for me and powder coated it black, which looks really good in the center of my altar, by the way. He did the triple moon and he did the spiral goddess. In fact, one of those, we're going to a solstice party that my friend has every year.
Ooh.
Well, not last year.
Well, yeah.
But let's see. And her daughter is actually going off to college and she just had her birthday, so we're taking her one of the spiral goddesses so she can have that in her dorm.
Aww.
And so we're gonna work on more of the metal art and have some other things just wandering around the property. There's a lot that is naturally growing here that what do people want? People want love, people want money. And people want to feel safe and protected.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, the top three motivators. Once again, referring to my former nursing life, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you got to have the bottom taken care of before you can get to the top.
Right.
And when I look at, you know, like, wow, I've got wild teasel. I have thistle. I have a lot of, you know, but then again, I have all the rose petals and, you know, the peach tree and all that. I mean, there's a lot of herbs. There's a lot of woods. There's a lot of things. You know, we have acorns. We have pine cones. We have, you know, all the things. And I'm like, there has to be something for the people who cannot get to this. Not everybody can walk outside and, you know, walk around 6 acres and gather what they need. Kind of like how I was, you know, in Mentor. I had a little bit of a yard, but, you know, you don't want to get busted trying to take something out of a metro park.
Right.
Or the arboretum.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know, what's in the backpack, ma'am? Nothing. Maybe a stick.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Right. So we'd be, you know, looking at things like, you know, how could we, you know, do that. You know, do I want to just put them in mojo bags? Do I want to do spell jars? I mean, I have a lot. Sorry, there's a train coming, so I have to like walk to another room.
Oh.
So, the other thing, and we were actually in one of the neighboring towns yesterday. We stopped in and we had lunch. You know, I was like, yeah, you know, let's go on a quick lunch date. And we noticed that there were a lot of empty storefronts. And I know you and I had talked about things a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And the space was the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, now I'm in an area where, you know, rent is not $2,500 a month on Minner Avenue frontage and things like that. So it's, you know, John said that he would love to have a brick and mortar. So,
oh, nice.
So we're looking, you know, I have asked the universe and, you know, the powers that be to, you know, let me know the perfect place at the perfect time. But, you know, we're keeping our eyes peeled to see if that's going to be feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, we have a lot of ideas. So, and I would love to branch off. I mean, this area is so beautiful. And I know a lot of people think, oh my God, you know, you're in the sticks. It's the country. It's that. We have the poo. Absolutely, we do. But it's gorgeous. And going from, you know, city life, working in a hospital, just, you know, go, go, go. Every day, life and death, you know, the grind, the hustle, the this, that, the other. And then, like, now I can sit on a porch and look at, you know, my animals in the pastures and just stop, you know, and just say, wow, like, look at what's growing here and what we're doing. And this is how we eat and this is how we live. And I would love other people to see this too. And, you know, and while you're down here and you're not focused with all of the pressures and the stressors of your daily life, like maybe you're away from your kids or your family. I mean, let's face it, I'm getting older. I've got aging parents. He has an aging parent. You know, sometimes you just need to take a break. And, you know, it would be really, really great to have a space where people could come and just, you know, I like coming in here because I can just breathe. Okay, that's great. Then I've done my job.
Right.
So we have really big plans, a lot of ideas, and we're just waiting to see, you know, where all the pieces fall into place, and that's where we'll go. So nothing concrete just yet. You know, we're not saying, like, you know, it has to be this or that, the other. We are open to deviate, but yeah, there are some long-term goals that we would really like to achieve.
Nice. Just kind of flowing along, waiting to see what crops up. All right. Well, as we're wrapping up, is there anything that you wanted to add that we didn't cover? So this is kind of like yogi recess, if you will.
I don't have too many regrets in life. In knowing what we know now, because so many things were not talked about globally, you know, for many years, that even as a kid, or a very young adult, I wish I would have pushed back a little bit more when I was told you can't do whatever, or you call that a drawing, or you call that this and that and the other, because to see how everything has evolved. And like I said, you know, there are no rules anymore. I wonder how much farther along I would have been. Personally, professionally, spiritually, things like that. But everything happens for a reason. So I've kind of made my peace with that. And a lot of the shadow work that I've done, you know, hence the Light Seer's deck kicking my ass every time I use it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, don't stop. You know, keep doing the fucking work. It sucks. It's hard. I don't like it. It's kind of like getting on the treadmill, you know. I hate it up until I start doing it, and then it's like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then I get into it at a certain point, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm Athena, I'm a warrior, you know, I mean, I'm Legathon, I'm going off to battle. Like, walking a mile at like 1.7, but whatever, you know.
It counts.
It does. It all counts, and it's, you know, I guess if I had to give my younger self or anybody else, you know, any advice, it would be anything that's worth doing or having is worth fighting for. I know as a woman, especially as a young girl, it's, you don't do that. You don't fight.
Mm.
And in nature to be passionate about what I believe in and how I express myself. And it took me a long time to feel comfortable being in my own skin and, you know, acting like me. I mean, I had to peel away a lot of layers and a lot of familial and societal conditioning to, you know, discover who I actually was, because I had forgotten. So I guess I'm at the right place at the right time, and I'm meeting the right people. But, you know, part of me wonders, you know, what if, yeah. What if, you know, what if I had gotten on a plane and gone to California and, you know, had encouragement? I mean, we'll never know, but it's, what can I take with that now, and how can I apply that to my life, and how can I convey that in, you know, maybe my next deck, or, you know, God forbid, a book, or, you know, anything else.
Yeah.
That seems very daunting. But, you know, if one person doesn't go through, you know, what I and so many other people have gone through, then it will all have been worth it in some weird kind of way.
Yeah, for sure. So for your last question that I have for you, what has been your favorite life tip to date that you would like to share with the audience?
You know, it goes back to my personal mantra of do the fucking work, but also don't give up. Mm-hmm. Don't give up at all. You know, you know when something resonates with you to your very core. I mean, every cell in your body gets in alignment with that goal. And the more right it is for you, the more people will try and dissuade you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the law of averages. I don't know if, you know, it's some kind of cosmic test or a joke or anything. I am not that exalted. They don't give me that information. But it seems like whenever I am truly committed to something, it's almost like I have to trim the fat and keep pushing through, like, you know, some resistance. You know, that's where the boundaries and all that come into play. It's a little uncomfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I kind of get through that, everything seems to fall into place, you know? So it's like, I'm trying to, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And then you get to a certain point where all of a sudden, you know, like, you know, finding an apartment, you know, and you're just spinning your wheels, and people, no, you don't want to live there, and you need to live here, and you need this, that, and the other, and you just finally say, you know what, I don't care, I'm going to answer this classified ad, place looks cool, whatever, and then within a week, you have the keys, and you're moving in.
Yeah.
Don't listen to people, just do what you got to do. It's going to be uncomfortable there for a minute, but once you get through that, I promise that's where the magic happens. It's like pushing through the veil from, you know, the muggle struggle to the magical world. Once you get through that barrier, it's like, ta-da!
All part of transformation. There's going to have to be somewhere you're uncomfortable.
Yeah, like caterpillar literally turning into bug soup before it becomes a butterfly. Yeah, I can't imagine that's a pleasant process.
Yeah. All right. Well, where can people find you? So, like, on social media, website, where can they find you if they want to talk more or to purchase your wonderful deck or your candles?
Thank you. I'm on Facebook at Farm Girl Magic. We have a page there. It's also linked to the Instagram account. And it's, you know, Farm Girl Magic with the K, M-A-G-I-C-K. We do have a website as well, farmgirlmagic.com. And right now, oh, and the Etsy shop. So I'd say that's like my big four.
Okay.
And everything is under Farm Girl Magic. We didn't deviate from it. There's no dots or letters or numbers or anything. We were lucky that spelling it with the K, you know, locked us into that name because nobody was using it.
It's hard to do nowadays where everybody's, you know, getting into little niche things and finding to make sure that you have the same name on every single platform.
Yes. Yeah, we lucked out on the domain. It was like, boom, we just bought it. We're like, you know what? That's it. We just bought it. We own it. We're cool.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me and for giving up your time to talk to the audience and educate me a little bit more about your Oracle deck. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And I'm, you know what? I'm honored that you like it. I really am. You know, for a tarot reader, you know, a diehard tarot reader to, you know, kind of make the crossover a little bit, because I know my first deck, I mean, I loved it. It was beautiful artwork, but I was like, what the heck am I doing? And it was a process. I had to learn how to use it. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. I have never wanted to have an Oracle deck. You know, a couple people that I know have them, and they didn't really resonate with me. But when I saw that you had one and that it was something that, you know, where I grew up, where we, you know, like, that resonated with me, and I'm like, okay, well, I have to see what this is about. And the more that I read about it, I'm like, you know, I have to get this deck. And I've done already two readings with it, and the last one that I did was just, it just blew me away at how accurate it was. I did a solar plexus reading, and kind of like, you know, where am I at? I know that's kind of one of the points, like my self-esteem points, where I'm struggling a bit into, you know, with that. And it just called everything out, but not in the nasty way. Definitely in the, you know, look at this. This is, I'm telling you truthfully what's going on here, and it's up to you to be, how honest are you going to be with yourself?
And that's exactly something that our grandparents would have said to us.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, kind of the not like your parents. Your parents are a little too invested.
Yeah.
You know, the cool aunts and uncles, you know, I mean, they're just too busy being cool and, you know, letting you get away with stuff that you shouldn't. But, you know, sitting there and, you know, talking to your grandma either at the table or, you know, out in the garage or whatever, you know, or going to the store with grandpa and, you know, well, why don't you look at it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. As opposed to, you know, tarot, which will literally just slap you upside the head. I mean, tarot to me is, you know, just, it's like your mom. No, do it my way because I said so.
Oh, that's a little close to how I feel as a parent. But
yes.
Sometimes you need that, like, no. But yeah, I could definitely see where you get the, like, you know, grandma. That reminds me so much of my own grandma, how, you know, she would let you mull it over and sort of guide you to that, the answer, rather than just, here it is.
Right. And I miss that. I miss my grandmother, and I miss those conversations. And I think as I was working my way through it, you know, rediscovering talents that I had been told by other people, no, you can't do that, or that looks silly, or, you know, what's that supposed to be? Come on, man, this is grandma. She loves anything you do. You put your thumbprint in the silly putty, and she's like, oh, my God, that's great. You know, so, that was really where I was trying to take myself, because I originally started this just for me. And I'm glad that that is kind of, you know, rippling out, because that's a nice feeling, especially when you don't have that in your life anymore.
Yeah. Well, we are like 20 minutes past the time that I told you that I would keep you for. So I will let you go ahead and go, so that way I don't take up your evening.
That's fine. And I can let the husband and the dogs back in the house. I'm sure they'll appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And this was a lot of fun. It was my pleasure. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you. Me too.